Hi, I'm Shannon Riley. I'm a professional organizer, ADHD coach, and therapeutic yoga teacher. And this is Beyond the Checklist, a podcast for neurodivergent folks who are tired of one-size-fits-all advice. Around here, we honor how your brain really works, whether we're talking about creating calmer spaces, building focus, or learning to rest. This is a place for practical tools, honest stories, and permission to do things differently. Let's make space for what matters in your home, in your time, and in yourself. Hello, and welcome back to Beyond the Checklist. Today, we're going to talk about something that trips up a lot of my clients, students, and even me, which is planning with an ADHD brain. Traditional planners don't work for you if you keep making beautiful systems and abandoning them. If your calendar feels like more pressure than support, you're not alone. Planning with an ADHD brain requires more than routines. It requires flexibility, rhythm, experimentation, and a lot of grace. Let's break it down. What makes planning hard for ADHDers and what actually helps? So why does planning feel so hard? Time blindness. It's hard to feel how long something will take or even when something is supposed to happen. And these are all executive functions. Initiation challenges. You know what to do, but getting started feels like climbing a wall that has no handles. Working memory overload. Holding steps in your head while planning the day? Nope. Leaks out before you even start. Have you ever walked into a room and forgot why you were there? Perfectionism meets inconsistency. You make an amazing system, but then you miss a few days and feel like you failed. All or nothing cycles. You either plan everything or avoid it entirely. None of this means you're bad at planning. I'm gonna say it again. None of this means you're bad at planning. It means the tools weren't built for your brain. Most people think that planning is about control. But with ADHD brains, planning is regulation. It's nervous system support. It's orientation. It's permission to not keep everything in your head. Here's how I reframe planning for my clients. It's not about doing things perfectly. It's about knowing where to re-enter when you drift. It's not about locking in your schedule. It's about building a rhythm that helps you feel safer moving through the day. It's not a finish line. It's a flexible tool for anchoring your energy. Let's get into some practices that actually work, not just in theory, but in real life. Externalize everything. Don't expect yourself to hold it in your head. Use post-its, whiteboards, voice memos, visual dash time anchoring instead of strict scheduling. Instead of do this at 2 o'clock, try after breakfast, check email. During the afternoon lull, walk or stretch. Anchor tasks to moments, not clocks. Use loops or menus instead of strict lists. So a loop is like a weekly loop of rotating tasks. Things you know need to happen throughout the week, but it doesn't have to happen at the same day or time every time. A menu of focus-friendly tasks for low-energy days. So that way you can feel productive or like you're doing something, even on the days that you don't feel like doing a lot. A 3 things today box instead of a full list. And I like to say, you have your 3 things. If you're feeling really good and you check them off, do another 3 things. Start with clarity, not urgency. Before launching into your day, take 2 minutes to ask, what's the one thing that matters most today? Where's my energy? What can I drop or delay? Plan with accountability, not isolation. Use co-working, body doubling, or check-ins. Even asynchronous ones. ADHD brains thrive with relational scaffolding. Make the plan feel good to use. use colors, textures, templates, apps that spark curiosity, not dread. Your tool should invite you in, not push you away. So if there's a tool that you really like how it looks and it makes you happy when you look at it, or if there's a certain kind of paper that you like to write on because it feels good with your pen and the paper, which is sensory, have that. Remember, you will drift from your plan. Not a failure. It's part of your pattern. I'm going to say it again because I think it's really important. You will drift from your plan. And just because it's working now doesn't mean it's always going to work. That's not failure. It's part of the pattern. Build your plans with return paths, an end of day review, visual restart points, gentle weekly check-ins, a note that says it's okay to start again right here. One of the kindest things you can do for your brain is to normalize coming back. So let's try something together. Wherever you are, take a moment and ask yourself, what's one thing I want to feel this week? What's one task that supports that feeling? What's the smallest way I can begin it? That's it. That's planning. You reconnected your energy and gave it direction. That counts. As always, thank you so much for being here today. If this episode helped you feel seen in your planning process, or gave you new ideas to try, I would love for you to share it. And as always, you can reach me at my website or on Instagram for any questions or comments. And remember, planning is not perfection, it's a practice. And you're allowed to start again as many times as you need. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Beyond the Checklist. Take what you need, leave what you don't, and remember, you're doing the best you can, and that's enough. Until next time, keep making space for what matters in your home, your time, and yourself.